Hello. Ooh.
Hot mic. Turn me down just a little bit. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Very, very good. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. While you're turning there, would like to welcome in the back, a first-time visitor, Roy. Yes? Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Brought here by Redden, that's right, coming all the way from Llano. And then I think I met also in the back, Nelza. Yeah, Nelza. So welcome from Hiro all the way here. So also, before we read together, I forgot to mention, as we're praying for other countries, I'll mention it actually in the sermon, so never mind. Just forget that, sorry. So 1 Thessalonians, this we read last week, and by the grace of God, we read it again this week. And it's good. It's good to read it again. So I'll read it from verse 1 to verse 3, and please join me at verse 4. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The very words of God. Amen? We okay with this? Yeah, all right. So it's in your bulletin. It's also on the projector. But Chris, you have to pay attention. We'll be going up and down and back and forth. So, yeah. Also, if you have your own Bible, definitely have that open. There's other places I would like you to turn to as well. So please be ready for that. I want to preach from verse 4 through verse 10. Last week, we covered verses 1 through 3. This month of June, I would like to open up 1 Thessalonians to you because it expresses the heart of God as our shepherd, the pastor. And yes, there is doctrine and teaching and very important truths and ideas. And we covered that in our study of Romans and Galatians. But also our faith is a practical, day-by-day, moment by moment, life on life, faith. What good is the truth if you don't live by it? And what good is doctrine if you're not transformed and living according to it? By the way, speaking of transformation, that's what you need. What the purpose of Christianity is. It's to have a transformed heart, a transformed life. And that only comes by power. And as our sister Grace has eloquently put it, it's the power that comes from the gospel, the message, the words. That's what we just read right here. We read it right here. I'm talking about life power. That's a terrible title, I know. But it's so vague and genuine. So what do I mean? Life, not just life, like I wake up and I breathe and I eat and I drink and I'm alive. We're talking about capital L life, eternal life. Eternal life is not a duration of life. It's not how long you live. Eternal life is a quality of life. It's a life connected to eternal God. Are you following me? Does that make sense? It's the quality of life. And that's the life that God has for us. But we can never have it without God's power. And where do we find the power of God? It's written here for us. If you read also in verse 5. You there? All right? Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. And so Grace said, this message that God loves you and his love is shown by his blood shed for you in order to purchase you, to buy you back from hell, Satan, sin, the grave. And that message, that if you believe in that blood and put your trust in that faith, in that Savior, you will have this eternal life. That's power. These are not just words. Why would you come here just to listen to a man blabble, 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 blabble on this stage? There is absolutely no reason to do that if they're just words, right? But if there is power, you have no reason not to come and listen. And Paul is saying, we came not with just words, but this message, this gospel, this truth is power. Power to transform, to change, to change. I know that's what we're hungering for. That's why we're here. And so that's the life power that we're talking about. So, the transformation. How do you know it's happening? How can you see that it's working? Well, we see three things in the verses that we read, 1 through 10. And I want to bring them before you in about 30 minutes, maybe less than that. There's three things I'll just tell you right now. You don't have to write them down. They're just for me to remember. You understand that you are chosen by God. And you understand that you are being changed by God. And this power is now using you as a channel for that change. You're chosen, you're changed, and you're channeled by God. What do I mean? Well, if you look at the first verse on verse 4,
It says there, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. The power of God is that he has chosen you. That has power to transform you. If you let that get into your heart, that God has chosen you. Wait, Chris. Hold on. Wait. You mean God forced himself on me? How could he choose me and not choose other people? Are you saying that there's something better in me that's not in somebody else, therefore he's chosen me? Yeah? What are you talking about, Chris? It was just right there in the Bible. Chose me. Chris, what about man? Isn't he free to choose? How about free will? How about responsibility? Yeah, it's there. Chris, you still there? All right? Look at verse 9. The flowers are covering it, but you can still see. They themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Verse 9, the middle. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve. Yeah? It's both there. Ours is the turning, the repenting, the choosing. God's is the predestination, the election, the choosing. What are you talking about? For some of you, you don't care about this stuff, but for some of you, it's important. And I think should be important for all of us. Let me look at it from one perspective. For many of us here, we did not know God. We did not care of God. But for some reason or for some time, there was an interest that we have. I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody brought us to church. Maybe we found a Bible. I don't know. And somebody told us about the Bible, or I heard a kotowaza or a proverb, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe there's some, if there's a God, maybe what does it say in the Bible? And you read it, and you become interested. My wife, Naomi, she went to America. Somebody invited her to church. She started going to church. At the church, they would teach the Bible, so she would listen. And from that time, she gained interest. And she heard the gospel, just like you, many of us. We heard the good news, and there was power. And after we investigated, after we thought about it, after we heard it, and after we let it get down into our heart, oh, God loves me. Oh, God forgives me. Oh, I can follow Jesus. Now, from our perspective, that's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and when we're doing that, does the Bible say that that's right? Yes. But now, let's look at it how God sees it. Yeah, I saw you at McDonald's, and I called you by name. Yeah, I saw you there in your apartment, and I said, come to church. Yeah, I saw you on Facebook, and I showed you this. You think it started by that? You think that's where it started? For God. God, who is eternal, who was, who is, and is to come, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God started loving you from that moment? No. If you have your Bible, it says there in Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I have to turn there because I can't remember it. It says here, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. When did God choose us? before the creation of the world. Skip down to verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined. Chris, so you're telling me God knew all along?
Yes.
Even though I was not born a Christian?
Yeah.
Even though I didn't grow up in a Christian home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before you were even born, before he even made the world, the universe, he loved you. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God. You see, it's one thing for you to say, I love God. That's one thing. It's nice. You know? I love Bruno Mars. I like his songs. I love my wife's tuna sandwiches. They're so delicious. I love those. I love God. It's another thing for God to say, I love you. And it's another thing for you to say, God loves me. I read yesterday in Psalms. I was just reading Psalms, I think 141 or 42. He upholds the cause of the poor and the oppressed. He feeds the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. He loves the righteous. And here's what it says even further down. He loves the fatherless and the widow. He loves those who are not loved by anybody else. Amen? Rejected, turned down, not good enough. God loves you, brother and sister. And he has loved you from before the beginning of the world. Is that good news? That's the news. If that comes, there's what we sang today. Beauty that made my heart adore you. That's beautiful. The beauty is God has loved me, and in that love, it transforms me to love him back. We love because God first loved us. 1 John chapter 4. Amen. Brothers and sisters loved by God. That's the power of the gospel. That will change you. Second thing, chosen by God, changed by God. And there's many points here. You might have to write them down. I don't know. But here are the many points. Changed by God. That's all of it is in here. The ways that we're changed by God, we're given at least four new things. It's all here. A new foundation, a new family, a new focus, a new future. Okay, lots there. Let me go one by one. He's given us a new foundation. That's the change, the foundation. Jesus, my firm foundation. What's the foundation? Verse 3. Faith, hope, love. You see that foundation? It says there, the work produced by faith, the labor produced by love, the hope endurance inspired by hope, right? You don't have to be a Christian to have work, labor, and hope. There are lots of non-believers, non-Christians who have those three things. But for the Christian, our work, our labor, our endurance come from this foundation of faith, hope, and love. It gets even better. What else is part of our foundation? What else is part of our foundation? There's power in the Holy Spirit. I have no power. The words I'm speaking, they're foolishness. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message of the cross, it's foolishness to the world. But for us who are being saved, it is power. Romans chapter 1, 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. That's my whole foundation in life, is the gospel and the power of God. So I have faith, I have love, I have hope, I have power. That's my foundation. What else? There's one more. One more. I know it's there. Rang out from you. There it is. Verse 6. You became imitators of us and the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy. There is suffering, but there's joy in the suffering? Can you have that as a non-Christian? I don't know. I don't know. But for those of you who are suffering, here's the beauty of it. There are some happiness and there is some joy that the world can give me. I can have a new toy. I can win some basketball games. I can watch the NBA finals on my TV. Joy. But when the finals are over and there's no more basketball, when I lose, and I lose a lot, when I have no more toys, those joys and those happinesses go away. But there is a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit gives it to me, no one can take it away. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world cannot take it away. So all of the suffering and trials and difficulties the world puts on me, it does nothing to kill my joy. It actually makes my joy stronger. It drives me deeper into to God, who is my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's a foundation. I've used it here before. I'll use it again. One of my favorite TV shows on Sunday evenings used to be, I can't remember the name, Before and After. That's the name of the show, right? Before and After, right? Right, the song. And they would build houses. They would take the old houses, and the people would complain, it's old, the toilet is outside, the ofuro is, you know, I have to walk across, whatever, right? The roof is falling apart. So they would have to do the rebuilding. Some houses were so bad, they tore it down, and they looked, the foundation was wood. It's rotting, right? So what'd they do? They tore out the foundation. Right? And the construction workers know, good foundation, the house will last longer. So they get in there, they put the cement, they put the iron, and they let it, the stronger, it's a new foundation, and then the new house, before and after. Some of you, you need a new foundation. Your house, your life, it's a mess. Everything's leaking. The rain is coming. The floods get in. You stink. You smell. Right? You need the faith, the hope, and the love, and the joy, and the power from the gospel. The new foundation. That's what the Thessalonians have. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Get down into your foundation. Some of you, he's already started. Right? Maybe some of you, he's actually right in the middle of tearing down some of your life. And you're like, ugh, knock that roof off, knock that wing down. And now it's like, okay, Lord, I'm down here. And he says, no, we've got some further down to go. Let's get down and down. And you say, oh, Lord, how can I do it? Trust me. Let me give you some joy as you go down and deep, right?
So do what you got to do, Lord. Do what you have to do. He's giving you a new foundation. But here's the good news, too. He's giving you a new family. Small point. It's just mentioned there in verse 4, just a little bit. He says, for we know brothers. That's the word. But it's also translated brothers and sisters. 兄弟, 姉妹, right? Brothers and sisters. I need you to know this because some of you, in becoming a Christian, or some of you, because you're a Christian, you're losing family. Your family says, wait. What are you? You're going to church? You're reading the Bible? What? You're thinking about being, but you're Buddhist. No. You're not American. You're not European. It doesn't matter, right? And so some of us, our family turns their back on us. But Jesus promises us, for those who lose mother, father, brother, sister, for my sake, this is Jesus' promise, will gain brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and hundreds fold in this life. I need you to know that. I need you to know you're in a new family. Now, some of you, that's good news. Thank you, Chris. I'm not alone. I'm not an orphan. I have the spirit of sonship that cries out, Abba, Father, and Kyodai Shimai. And some of us, we need to repent because we think of other people and say, oh, him? Why him? My brother? Ooh, right? Her? Really, Lord? Really? We're going to be together for a very long time. So we might as well get used to each other, okay? All right? All right. If you can't say amen, never mind. But, yeah. Some of you have big families. The biggest families know. That's the biggest problems. The bigger the family, the more problems you... The most pain in your life probably comes from some family member, okay? And that's the church of God. That's the family of God. If we can't learn to forgive here, how are we going to learn to forgive there? So let that get there, all right? Just new family, but that's good. It helps to change you because you can't forgive others out there if you can't forgive others here, right here. Some of you, you look at each other wrong and forget you. Don't do that, okay? Forgive others with the forgiveness Jesus has given to you. Start with that. Okay, so new foundation, new family. Here's the heart of it, the new focus. The new focus. Verse 9, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's a focus. New focus. New direction. Turned to God from idols. And I know, in Japan we have idols. Guzorehai, idol worship. It's the statues. It's the butsudan. It's the kamidana. It's not the idol. Ohaka, it's not an idol. What is an idol? An idol is anything in your heart that's more important than God. Anything. I asked somebody one day, I said, is there anything in your life that if you don't have it, it's not worth living life? And she answered me, my family. If I don't have my family, maybe I can't live. Is family a good thing? It's a good thing. If it's more important than God,
it is an idol. And what happens is, if family becomes your God, oh, Lord help you when that family disappoints you, hurts you, betrays you, rejects you. Oh, but it's my family. Family is most important. Be careful now. Be careful. Because family is a family. And let God be God. And let your family be your family. And trust me, in that there will be so much freedom. But some of us, it's not family that's our God. Some of us, it's, I don't know, power. I want to come to church. And back in my home church, I was somebody. And so here, I'm going to be somebody. Maybe it's a position. Maybe it's a success. Attention. Let me come to church and let me be on stage and let people look at me and see me and I like the sound of my voice. Now it's real quiet here. Maybe it's security. I need this job. I need this money. If I have it, I'll be okay. The future will be okay. I'll be set. Really? You really think so? Ultimately, the idol is ourself. Now, the beauty of the gospel, the good news of Jesus is, you see, we will never be able to free ourselves from our idols. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability to turn ourselves from these idols. But by God's love, the beauty you gave, it melts our hearts so that his love pulls us out of our idol and into him. That's the beauty of the gospel. Because what he's saying there is you turned from the idols to serve the living God. I remember a few years ago, maybe 7 or 8, here's how I found my idol. I have idols, trust me. And here's, maybe this will help you, I don't know. I was given the job of a basketball coach. Here we go again. And I would lose sleep just thinking about practice. Not games, practice. And I would stay up 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Just thinking about basketball, practice, shooting, passing, dribbling. And I'd get so excited. And I'd think, okay, I could read my Bible later. I just have to think about basketball. Yeah, it's true. And there was a point where God said, Chris, be careful, because I'm telling you, you keep going with this thing I gave to you. It was a gift. I gave you this to enjoy. Now, you keep going with this, you're in for a lot of trouble. I said, yeah, I know, God. So tomorrow we're going to do dribbling. All right. Chris, I'm telling you, you're losing sleep. You're ignoring your children. You're giving all of your money for these DVDs of basketball. Yeah, you know what your idol is when you start paying some money, yeah? And so I got into it, and I was all into it, and I won a tournament early on. And oh, my goodness. Wow, I'm a good coach. I'm strong. I can do this. So fast forward a few years. Players are quitting. Other faculty are criticizing me. I'm doing terrible in refereeing and in the whole thing. I get demoted. I go from high school coach to junior high school coach. And I'm crying. I say, God, why me? What did I do? And God says, here's the mirror. Here is your idol. Ah, help me, Jesus. And I thank him for that. I thank him because he said, Chris, I have good news for you. Your life is not in this stupid little game. Your life is in me. Yeah. I'm your success. I'm your hope. I'm your joy. I'm your peace, your love, your freedom. Turn to God from your idols to serve God. And what does that do? Basketball is just basketball. Ah, it's fun. It's exciting. Oh, but yeah. So I think you got it, right? New focus. That's change. That's humility. That's power. New focus. Finally, new future. New future. Verse 10. Okay, you can't see it. So verse 10. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So this is about Jesus coming back a second time. The first time was a small Christmas scene in maybe a cave or a little hut. And he came to serve and to love and to save by giving his life on the cross. And then on the cross, he died, he was buried, and after 3 days, in all power, he was raised from the dead. So there were thousands of people crucified on crosses. All of them died. One of them resurrected. So that means, even though he died, because of the resurrection, that death means something important. Okay? So, he's resurrected, and then we believe, from the very beginning of Christianity, he's coming back. That's called the day of the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And if you look, I want you to keep turning in your Bibles. Let me teach you just for a minute here. If you open into your Bible, okay, go to swipe whatever you got to do to the next chapter of 1 Thessalonians, to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, towards the end, okay, verse 16, chapter 2. In their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. And then it says here, chapter 2, verse 16, the last word, the last sentence. The wrath of God has come upon them. Okay? So there's the wrath of God in chapter 2. The wrath of God in chapter 1. Right? But that's not the end of it. Go to chapter 3. Okay. Where does it come in here? Oops, I'm in chapter 4. I need a paper Bible. All right. I should have marked. I marked it, but in the wrong version. Forgive me. Kenzo, can you give him some tea right there? Give him daddy's tea.
Okay. Okay. The last verse of verse 3. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay, chapter 3, verse 13. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So chapter 1, the coming wrath. Chapter 2, the wrath of God. When is that? Chapter 3, verse 13. When our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Okay? Chapter 4. Go ahead and flip there. Chapter 4. Okay. Sorry. I should have marked it. Verse 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet call. Okay? And then, guess what? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, chapter 5, it's there. And here's where it all comes together. Verse 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Keep going. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains of a pregnant woman. They will not escape. Okay. Pastor Chris, this is getting weird. Where are you going? Where are you taking us? The wrath of God, the coming of the Lord, the day when Jesus returns. This is our future. I read it to you from Revelation at worship time. But let me tell you, the day is coming. And for some people, that's good news. And for some people, it's not good news. But for us who are being saved, in verse 3, it says it's the endurance that comes from the hope. I have a hope that this is not the end, that the racism that I experience, the injustice and the wars, the terrorism, the corruption in the politics, the unevenness of societies, the unfair treatment of people groups, the weak being oppressed, the unfair balances of power. My hope and my belief coming from this Bible teaches me that every mountain will be made low and every valley will be raised up, and that God will make right everything that has been made wrong by me and by our people. And that as I read from Revelation chapter 7, a day will come where God will wipe away every tear from all the sorrow and suffering of his people. That's my future. I'm looking forward to that. That has already begun as I believe in Jesus Christ. It has started. Can I tell you that right now? It has already begun. In fact, it's happening. And I understand there's violence and hatred and suffering. There's tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes. I understand global change or climate change. And in Romans chapter 8,
all of creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption of all of creation, the sons of God. We're all waiting for that day when Jesus comes and makes it all right, to heal the heart conditions, to fix the cancers, to make the lame walk and the blind to see. And I'm going to get into it, hopefully this month, when we get to the day of the Lord. But for now, one recommendation, just for now. For those of you who have smartphones and you don't read, but you like to listen, you don't have time for books, if you have time to listen, there is a very, very useful podcast. Are you familiar with podcasts? It's like broadcast, but okay. So anyways, a podcast. There is a podcast called The Bible Project. The Bible Project. It's a podcast by some very good Bible scholars. And it's not like all theology. It's very useful. There is a series of 5 hours you could listen to. 1 hours each. 1 hour each. It's called The Day of the Lord. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation. And it talks about all of the places that talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, the return, the day of the Lord. It started in Genesis. And it culminated in Jesus. And it will come together in Revelation when he returns. But just one recommendation. A chosen people, a changed people, finally a channeled people. We'll close on this. The channeled people. Verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, here it is, verse 7. So you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith has become known everywhere. I want you to see this because for those of you who are believers, here's the principle of change. You imitate somebody worth imitating. Pastor Hiroshi. I imitate him. I want to be like Pastor Hiroshi because I see Jesus in him. You find an older brother, an one-san, an oni-san, an ate, a kuya, a brother or sister, and you see Jesus in them. And you imitate them as they imitate Jesus. You are an imitator. But here's the crazy thing. There's a progression. At some point, you go from being an imitator to being an imitated. Did you see that? You're imitating somebody. You're following them as they follow Jesus. And lo and behold, at some point, you look back. Someone is imitating you. You have become the model. You have become a channel for the power of God, the gospel, the message. Oh, that's change. I don't know when. I don't know how. Well, I kind of know how. I kind of know how. How does it become? How does it change? Well, all the things I talked about. But for many of us, it comes through suffering. I got to go back to that. But yeah, I know. You can't say amen. You have to say ouch. But trust me on this. Here's the thing. We don't lead by our strengths. We lead by our weaknesses. We take up our cross, and we follow Jesus. And I know. Either time or suffering, one of those things is going to get. But eventually, somebody will see Jesus in you because of the strength you have, the joy you have, the power that's in your life, despite all of the weaknesses, inadequacies, and failures, and they will say, I'm going to do that. That's worth becoming. The Thessalonians, the harder they beat Paul and Silas and Timothy, the more they sang in the prisons. And the Thessalonians thought, well, if that's how you do it, that's how you do it. In the midst of severe suffering, there was joy in the Lord. Do you see that? And they imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And then Thessalonica was in it's a big port city, a harbor. And the message of the Thessalonians, joy, peace, grace, gospel, power, it just started growing all out. Macedonia, Achaia, they were generous in their giving. They were models. They became channels of God. God, why me? Why am I suffering? Why all of this pain? God says, I have people I need you to talk to. I need people to see you suffer well. Endure well. And be transformed by this. Because somebody's life depends on it. So we go to the cross and we say, Jesus, I repent. I thank you for your forgiveness and the grace you gave to me. I thank you for my new foundation, my new family. I thank you, God, for the pain that you've allowed in my life to transform me to become closer to the image of Christ. Thank you, God. I worship you. I adore you. There's nothing more beautiful than being transformed into the image of his Son. So that's what we do. We're Christians. We submit to his will and we follow his way through the cross. So let's go there now, and let's offer ourselves once more to him. Worship team, come on up. Father, it's a long word and a long sermon. I pray, God, that your truth would ring out. I pray, God, that the gospel would be transformative. I pray, God, that the joy would lead us through the suffering. I pray, Father, for those here, just as Grace prayed, fill their cup, O God, full to overflowing with the joy. The world didn't give it. The world cannot take it away. I pray for those of us here, O God. Doubting, wondering if this could really be true. You have chosen us from before the foundation of the world. Let that ring down deep in our hearts. The world can't love me like God loves me. Your love is better than life. So Lord, I pray that that message goes down deep. I pray for us who have our idols, who have put ourselves in the place of God. Help us, God, to turn from them and serve you. Help us, God. I pray for those here in weakness. I pray that in their weakness, your strength would be made complete. I pray, O God, for the cross to shine forth, the gospel to ring out loud in our lives. Lord, do this as we worship you, as we serve you. This is our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.